Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Now, fintech firm MoneyHub has raised £55 million with FTSE 100 company Phoenix Group investing £15 million in the Series B round after an initial £35 million in funding came from Legal & General and Lloyds Banking Group. The open finance and data platform aggregates people's finances to help companies conduct affordability and eligibility checks and works with more than 100 companies, reaching 150 million end users across the UK and globally.
Well, the business basically sprung from the UK's 2018 open banking regulation, which forced the UK high street lenders to open up their customer information in a secure and standardised form. The idea being that customers could understand their day-to-day finances more easily, they could get more cost-effective lending or help to tackle debt issues, and financial services firms would then reap new opportunities. And joining us now to discuss all of this is Samantha Seaton, who is the Chief Executive of MoneyHub. Welcome to Bloomberg Radio, Samantha. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, so this is new information that we have out this morning from MoneyHub. You've raised £55 million in this latest series of fundraising. What are you going to do with that money?
Oh, well, we've got some great growth plans, actually, because as a business, we have got B2B to C, which is the business platform, and we also have, unusually for a business like us, a direct-to-consumer platform as well. So we really want to grow the B2B business. It's done incredibly well. I think we've had 740% annual recurring revenue growth in the last 2 years. And so we really want to see that go further and faster. That's what the funding's for. So four main areas: actually do more of what we're doing now, which is, you know, a lot in the pensions and wealth sector, but, you know, not leaving the affordability and the payments and also the whole API, you know, platform area, you know, alone as well. We don't want to do that.
So where is your growth area then? Where are you looking to grow the business from here?
So in those four areas. So with open finance and open data, we're really fortunate that we have growth areas in all of those four buckets. We have clients in all of those areas. So we want to do more faster in all of those four areas. And actually staying as we were, you know, limited what we could do in those four areas. We could kind of grow organically in all four areas. And obviously we'd like to go a bit quicker.
Okay, so the possibility of acquisitions. Look, on the nuts and bolts, though, why do so few people in the UK actually understand or know or use open banking? I mean, most people will only really be aware of it because for some of the big lenders, you know, you can see on the apps, you can add another account, let's say, from another bank. But that's sort of just the beginning of what open banking could do. Why do so few people in the UK use it?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I found out the other day, which is quite interesting, that I think the penetration for open banking and open finance more broadly is sitting at about 0.6% of the market that it was going to grow into. So we're really still at the very beginning of that whole transformation. But it is a transformation that's taking place. I don't think the consumer really needs to know they're necessarily using open banking. So by all means, like you said, Caroline, you know, there's the choice about connecting your accounts in many of the CMA 9, you can now connect up, you know, multiple accounts. But actually, if you think about, you know, the example, you know, with Voxy that we did recently, whereby, you know, to enable access to the discounted mobile phone contract from £35 a month to £10 a month, you connect your account to have a check conducted on, for example, eligibility. And it's a very simple check. And I don't think people necessarily know that's open banking that's doing that. And I'm not sure it matters. I think what's really important is that people get access to, you know, loans, to...
But it does matter because they have to give their agreement, right? So they have to understand to some extent. And there's a lot of sort of concern around whether it is actually a win-win for customers. I mean, how do you see it? Is it a win for both customers and financial institutions? Is it possible for it to please both those constituents?
Yes, definitely. So it's definitely a big win for the consumer. Let's not forget how big a win it is. I mean, just take, you know, a very simple example, direct debits, you know, with the energy companies, which, you know, our data is showing are sitting at around 75% and a 65% increase at the moment, you know, for direct debits on that. And that's variable direct debits. Consumers have no choice. That money just comes out of their account. if you think about what open banking does, you provide variable recurring payments and the consumer gets to limit the amount of variability. And so it's actually very controlled always by the consumer. So, for example, if you were paying your energy company £100 a month and you said, actually, I don't want it to go above £125 a month unless you come back and talk to me because that's going to upset my money management, then that's possible. But you can't do that with a direct debit. So we're actually moving forwards into what I call the 21st century, you know, with money. I just think, you know, it's so powerful for the consumer with their explicit consent always, as you said, to know what's happening. But I think also for the businesses, they get to move into the 21st century because you get, you know, I mean, who wants to fill out a 30-page paper form time and time again to get access to some of the products and services you absolutely need to live your life?
In terms of your business, Samantha, I'm intrigued about this idea that, you know, whether you look at an IPO and will it be London or would you be looking somewhere else to do it?
So we always keep our options open. And thankfully, having £55 million of funding, you know, we won't be looking at funding for the foreseeable because, you know, we're in quite a good position. We've got a lot to do. So the focus is on the business at the moment. But, you know, we are a British founded business and we've got British backers, which I think, you know, we can all be pretty excited about.
Yeah. Are the banks, though, actually cooperating, do you think, with the new regulation in terms of the openness? You know, as you say, it's been a slow start. This new regulation for open banking, whether consumers understand it or not, it came in 2018. It's been quite a long, slow move. Are the big banks, are the big institutions actually cooperating, do you think, with this regulation, opening up the data?
Well, of course, you know, I think to start with, it was... they didn't want to, you know, it was something that has been imposed on them. You know, it's regulatory legislation that's taken place. So clearly they didn't want to do it by choice or we wouldn't have needed that. So I think it was a slow start. But based on the appetite now from the businesses that we're working with, I've seen a real shift in the market. And I think, you know, looking at the fact that we have L&G, Lloyds and Phoenix, you know, wanting to invest so that they can use the platform that we have in their businesses to help them go faster, quicker with the consumer. I think that tells you a lot. I think you've got to look back at other industries where there's been a significant transformation. And, you know, I mean, you know, I still look back at my BlackBerry, you know, that I used all the time. And, you know, it took a while to get me onto a touch screen. And, you know, I don't think any of us are going back to a BlackBerry now. You know, I just think it does take time, unfortunately.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.